This is the Fantasy Road Show.
We are live. I repeat, we are live. Welcome
in. We are live.
Welcome in to another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. This episode is brought to you by Rule One Proteins. If you don't know, now you know. Rule One's the best in the business. They got the best protein powder, the best supplements, the best vitamins. You name it, they got it. Go check them out at www.ruleoneproteins.com. You guys know the drill. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. Podcast is available on all platforms. Go follow us on social media. My name is Truck, and I'm joined, as always, by these two goons, Shane O'Mac and Coles. Shane, how you doing today, buddy? What's going on in your life? Anything new?
Shane is a fucking goon.
Yeah, I'm a goon. Dude, well, goon, well, I have to say, you know, last night, I don't know if I should feel proud. I'll let you guys make the call. If I should feel proud or a little like, this is a teaching moment. You know, Jack O'Mac, you know, plays tennis, and he got into a little beef with a parent on last night.
Really?
Yeah. The parent was trying to, you know, make calls for their kid and stuff. And Jack's like, dude, you can't do that. What are you doing? Just sit there and enjoy yourself.
All right. I want to hear the advice now, because I know what I would say. And I want to hear if that's the right thing.
So I asked him afterwards. I said, you know, what was going on about that? And he said, well, you missed the first part. He kept going on and doing this stuff, and which you're not supposed to. And I finally just got sick of it. And he's like, I'm not going to just sit there and let him do it. And I was like, okay, well, as long as you're in a respectful manner, then okay, you know, that's fine. And I said, did you? He's like, and I didn't want to go tell the coaches, you know, I'm just going to handle it myself.
Fuck yeah, Jax.
What a legend. Yeah,
I think you're like, keep doing what you're doing, right? Like, I think there's a little bit overblown of respect your elders. Like, of course, respect everyone. But like, just because he's older doesn't mean he can act like a fucking jerk off. You know what I mean? Like, this whole respect your, like, that's to me fucking bullshit. You should be treating everyone with respect. You should be, you know, as long as you do that, you can expect that other people to treat you that way and be treated that way. But just because you're older and you're acting like a jerk off doesn't mean you don't get to be told you're being a fucking jerk off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's how I view it.
I think he got me when he said, I was like, well, I can't argue with that. He's like, you know, this guy's what, 45 years old and he's acting like that? I mean, come on, what do you expect?
Yeah, like you get to ask him one time politely and respectful, as you say, and then second time you get to put it, like, make him look as fucking stupid as possible in public. Otherwise he'll never learn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
he'll keep acting like a jerk off his next match. Like, people need to be, we're in a society now that's so fucking sensitive, and it's so just people can think they can just throw out whatever the fuck. Like, unless people with morals like yourself, like your son, start stepping up and putting them in their place and fucking embarrassing them, nothing's going to change. They're just going to keep being a jerk off. So I applaud you and your son. There's Coles's rant about how society's fucking soft and a bunch of sensitive.
Well, the parent, that's my way more biggest annoying thing is like the overbearing parents just,
it's, yeah,
oh, go
it's
over there, crazy. Shake their fucking hand and have a conversation with
them. Oh, geez, you know what I mean? It's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's been going on for a long time, you know, sports, you know, you got those parents that always feel like they need to be, you know, very vocal. During the stuff, and someone's got to shut them up. So that's way to go, Jax O'Mac.
Yeah, Shane, shake their hand, look them in the eye, have a conversation. And when they're too emotionally immature to have a fucking conversation, call them out in front of everyone for it. You know what I mean? Like, grow the fuck up. I think you can handle that in a pretty aggressive way, and I would have your back.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, we are talking today about redraft quarterback rankings. We are in the heart of this. This is pre-training camp. So obviously rankings are going to change you know, here and there as the training camp goes on, as preseason progresses. So we just want to give you an updated pre-training camp quarterback rankings for redraft. This is a very exciting episode, and this is kind of the heart of what we're doing here at the Fantasy Roadshow. The meat and potatoes. Yeah, these redraft rankings is something we live by. We're going to be updating them daily about any news that comes out. So this is where we're sitting at. We're going to go through our top 32 quarterbacks for this year and kind of discuss why we have certain players above others. So let's kick it right off. I notice the number one and number two are all the same.
Before we kick it off, let's add to your point of, like, yes, the rankings are the Bible for us. And like, this is something that we need. This is everything, every draft we do, every mock draft, like, it should not be done until your rankings are where they're at, because otherwise what the fuck are you doing? So like, for us, when we get into mock season, this is our Bible. This is our word. This is what we go by. So, you know, we're going to have to communicate how and where to find our most updated rankings. But that'll probably be like a Friday thing. Every Friday we post a Substack. These are the updated rankings for the week. And you know, we'll be drafting off of our rankings throughout the week as we do mock drafts daily. And as we are right now doing Underdog daily. But yeah, we're going to need to communicate to everyone. You can find our updated rankings weekly every Friday at noon. So we'll have to figure that out, tweet it out, whatever.
Yeah, and as a segue, go check out the Substack. If you guys aren't subscribed to our Substack, it's our written articles, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. That's where we're going to be releasing all of our rankings and articles throughout the week. So great stuff there. Make sure you guys go check it out, the Substack. So
yeah, Shane O'Mac, what can we expect coming out on Substack in the next week or so?
So next week, we're going to start diving into the kind of sleepers and bust from each division. So we're going to go divisions each week. So
you're like, yeah, okay, sleepers and busts, what else?
Yeah, just gonna do those for each division, so those will be each week coming out right now. But we got, like Truck said, every week's gonna be, we'll have stuff dropping every Wednesday each week, so
perfect,
hitting your inbox.
Yeah, we got a draft guide tab specifically. Yep. Which will be all of our kind of like preseason articles. A lot of that will be discussed and do, you know, whether it's a short form or long form show, we'll have video content out. We're going to be starting to grind out shorts again. So I'm sure you'll see a Cole's sleepers and bust, Shane O'Mac sleepers and bust, you know, Truck sleepers and buck bus shorts, where, you know, you'll see that on all platforms. So make sure you follow Instagram, TikTok, whatever it may be.
Absolutely. All right. So like I said, everybody has the same number one quarterback and number two quarterback, and Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, the two top tier quarterbacks. So not much conversation there. Josh Allen's been number one, I think, three out of the last 4 years. Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in the league, as everybody would agree with that. So I think the conversation really starts here between the, you know, three and down. So Culls and I both have Jalen Hurts at number three. Go ahead.
Yeah, I disagree. I think the conversation does start with Mahomes in that, like, he was quarterback seven last year.
Okay, right? Yeah. No, that's so, a good,
like,
point.
I think that, like, that's where the conversation starts. I don't know what consensus is. I haven't even looked. I could probably pull it up on the screen. But I can't imagine Mahomes is consensus two. So, like, as a show.
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
Wow, I would not have thought that. I would have put him further. Like, I think Underdog, he's, what, five?
Yeah.
So for me, Mahomes is my second quarterback, and that's because the addition of Worthy, Hollywood, Rashee Rice becoming a year more mature, hopefully.
A year more mature.
Mature is maybe not the great word. He's going to be, you know, developing in the offense and athletically. They're making a clear attempt to kind of have that air raid offense, and I think obviously Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, and production is to follow. So that's why I have him as quarterback too, but I think it's noteworthy just because you know, quarterback three is a shock. I know underdogs. That's where my brain is pretty much just completely right now.
Yeah.
So he's quarterback five.
But. No, you're absolutely right. I shouldn't have glazed over that. Patrick Mahomes has the best wide receiving core he's had in quite some time. I know Tyreek Hill was elite with him, but as far as a group of three receivers, I think this is really gearing up for him to have a great season. So I think that speaks to why we all have him as QB2. So that's a good point.
Yeah, Hurts at three for me. I'll just kind of explain how mine are broken down right now. In the top five, it's Josh Allen for obvious reasons. And then I have Mahomes because of what I just spoke about. And then 3-4, you go Hurts and Lamar because of the cheat codes. You'll hear us say that at every position. But like I have them at 3-4 because of their cheat codes. And then Caleb, some may be surprised to see him at QB5 for myself. I think his ADP on underdog is 12. So I think he's a perennial Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's in a great situation. So I have him as my QB5. And then you start to see the Burrow, Stroud, Lawrence, the guys that don't possess those cheat codes that I think are going to have a great year. So that's just like the breakdown of why Hurts and Lamar are sandwiched in there at 3-4.
Okay. I have Jalen Hurts at 3, CJ Stroud at 4, and Lamar at 5. And Hurts, just it's that rushing, 15 rushing touchdowns last year, same as Josh Allen. That just adds to the elite fantasy production for him. So that's why I have him right there. And CJ Stroud, I think he can absolutely build off what he did last year. You're adding in Stephon Diggs, another year with Nico and Tank Dell, and the sky's the limit for CJ. I really expect him to build off the season he had last year. So that's kind of why I have him inside my top five as opposed to Coles. And I know Shane's actually a little bit higher on him, has him at 3. So Shane, why don't you talk about why you put CJ over Jalen, and then you got Lamar and then Kyler.
Add in this too, because I wanted to ask Truck this, but he mentioned 15 rushing touchdowns. I personally think that number decreases. I think with the addition of Saquon, Kelsey gone, obviously they're still going to run that, but I do think that they give the ball to Saquon a little bit, let's say on the two, whatever it may be. They're not, it may be a little bit, maybe defenses learn how to defend it a little bit better, but I think that number goes down from 15. That being said, I think they are a stronger offense this year as they kind of fell off as a team in general. So I think those things kind of even out, and that's why I'm still at 3. But Shane, tell us, add that into your analysis. Like, where do you see Hurts in his rushing touchdowns? Do you think it stays?
Yeah, that's one of the elements of why I put Stroud. I ticked him up, was I think that number comes down from what you said. The tush push doesn't go away, but it is used less often without Kelsey. They utilize Barkley more. But for me, like Stroud, I think just what he did last year as a rookie, you know, those big games, I think it was 6 or 7 games of 300 yards or more passing. And for me, if I'm looking at like the receiving options, this top three receivers, I would think they're a tick above even Philadelphia's receiving options. If when you're looking at Nico and you're looking at Tank Dell, and now you're looking at Stephon Diggs, like I have that much faith in them. I think they're going to be more of a throwing team, even with the addition of Mixon. Mixon can be utilized out of the backfield a lot, receiving wise too. Mixon wasn't the best at times around the goal line, so I could even see a lot more throwing chances for Stroud or even around the goal line. So for me, that's why I've ticked him up above Hurts.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I'm not going to be able to argue that. I have Stroud at 7 just because I don't think the NFL plays straight always. Teams, you know, I think regression is coming. I hate that I feel like I'm a hater on CJ Stroud because I love him and I think he's an absolute stud. I just know how difficult the NFL is, and to sustain success at that level year after year is damn near impossible. So, you know, I haven't really done all my divisions yet, but I'm sure I'll have the Jaguars winning that division because of exactly what I just talked about. And that's why you see Trevor Lawrence at 8. I think his breakout is coming. ETN's coming into his prime. I think BTJ is a guy who also hasn't broken out as a receiver yet. He has the entire prototype to do so. So I think you're going to probably see a big year out of the Jags. I'm sure I'll have him winning the division. I don't know. I think that's probably why I have Stroud at 7. Still think he produces at a high level because of how good he is. Burrow at 6 because I think, you know, Bengals are going to win that division, and Burrow and Chase are going to have their best year, maybe in their career together. It's just hard because he doesn't possess that rushing upside to put him over Hurts, Lamar, and Caleb. Do I think he will finish higher than at least one of those guys? Yeah, because I think one of them will likely get hurt for a few games. So I don't know where he'll end up. You know, I'm not going to project injury, but in terms of team and opportunity and how I think they finish this year, that's kind of where those, you know, top 8 stand.
Yeah, and that top 8, just to speak on that a little bit more, any one of these guys could finish as QB1. Like, Joe Burrow has the ability to finish as the best scoring quarterback with the addition of Jermaine Burton and Higgins being signed for a 1-year deal. So you got great weapons with the Bengals, and I'm really excited for Joe.
There's an asterisk. They can all finish QB1 if Josh Allen doesn't play 17 games.
That's
seriously
fair.
I think he's at that level. I think he's like, I don't see a world Josh Allen's not QB1, period, because he's just getting more dialed into his game. We're going to see it this year. Like, the NFL's going to realize, holy shit, it doesn't matter who Josh Allen has around him. He's putting up insane numbers. It's just the type of quarterback he is, the offense that they run in Buffalo, and how it's going to be, especially during his athletic prime of his career. You know, that rushing is going to be at an all-time high. He may even get more rushing touchdowns because he feels like he needs to tuck and put it in the end zone more, you know? So I think that's the asterisk. But other than that, I completely agree with you. 100%. Lawrence has to do is not turn the ball over as much, and then just natural regression to the mean with his passing touchdowns, and he flies up the rankings. So I think he's
absolutely
not a sleeper, but he's the biggest buy for me between Caleb and Trevor Lawrence. Buy, and of course Allen, because he's number one overall, just in general. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's top 8. You guys have, Shane O'Mac, give me your Kyler. We don't need to talk about Richardson and Kyler too much. More so Kyler. I want to hear about, like, what you think with the Cardinals. You always see Kyler a little bit lower than consensus, because as I mentioned earlier, like, I've never been a big fan of his arm. I don't think it's strong. And then to me, they're going to be last in the division. I don't see them finishing better than the Rams, better than the Seahawks, better than the 49ers, maybe better than Rams. I could see them kind of falling off, maybe. But tell me, like, where you think they finish in the division. For him to be a top 6 quarterback, they're not finishing last in the division. So tell me, like, about that. That's what I want to know.
Well, for me, like, I don't know if that's a big factor to me. I mean, if they're behind in games, that just aids in his fantasy production. But, like, I was surprised last year when he came back, first year from the major knee injury. It wasn't until week 10. He still had 3 top 10 QB finishes in the 7 games he played, and he didn't even throw for more than 255 yards in any given game. And let's not forget, like, who was his number one and number two receivers in those games? It was either Trey McBride or Greg Dortch. And so now you've got McBride, who's in his second year, about to really pop. If you watched our tight end dynasty show last week, you know, he was up there high for all of us. And then, of course, you just add an extreme weapon in Marvin Harrison Jr. I just think I look at it when I think you're going to see him run a little bit more now that he is fully 100%, which he wasn't last year. So you're going to get a little bit of padding fantasy wise with some production running wise that you didn't get in those 7 games last year.
Yeah, and it, I mean, to be fair, from what I remember in Kyler over the last couple of years since he's been in the NFL, he's kind of, I would say, like the king of garbage time. Like he scores points in garbage time of games. So like, you know, he has that elite rushing upside, that fantasy cheat code we talk about. And I'm curious to see how much Marvin Harrison can really help him take that step. And
for sure, that's what I'll do. But if the Cardinals win four games, Kyler will not be quarterback six. So like in order for him to be that high, they're going to have to like just football. We're talking football. In order for him to be top six fantasy quarterback, they're going to have to be close to 500 in my mind. And it's just difficult given that conference for me to see them get there. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then Richardson, kind of the same thing, I think. Obviously, I put him egregiously low just to troll on people, but I genuinely think he sucks and will probably get injured and play 5 to 6 games this year. So, you know, technically, I could probably have him off of my top 32. I just don't see him playing 10 games. I told you I don't like to project injury in rankings. I don't know if that, I guess this is the outlier in that. Mm-hmm. Don't think he's good at passing the football, and then I don't think he stays on the field. You guys have him at 7-8 and talk about it.
Go ahead, Shane. You have him higher than I do, so you can
just. Chuck's going to hate this, but I have to eat a little bit of cottage cheese.
That is so gross. Just side note, that is one of the most disgusting foods around. Is
don't speak ill of cottage cheese, okay? Don't speak ill of cottage cheese. It is protein. Like, it's delicious.
Anytime you hear about like nutrition, Shane O'Mac gets a hard on, and then cottage cheese, which is a superfood,
it's the worst. One of the
best things for you. He's just immediately turned off.
The funny thing about cottage cheese. One of the
best foods for you, Shane.
When Coles came with me on the road, I would constantly pack cottage cheese and pineapple, and I would eat the combination of cottage cheese and pineapple. I loved it. And then after we got back from that trip, Mike sent me an article saying that one thing you absolutely don't want to eat with cottage cheese is pineapple. I guess it's like really bad for you, the combination of the two. So since then, I haven't been enjoying any cottage cheese. Yeah, the acidity.
Acidity and the pineapple.
I've seen peaches and cottage cheese people eating.
Yeah, I think that was my step towards pineapple because I like pineapple more than peaches. But anyway, enough of the cottage cheese talk.
I promise you that if you found something, the right thing to eat with cottage cheese, you'd fucking love it. Fruit is incredible. I like ground beef because I'm a sicko and I just like the salt and then I like protein. But it is like extremely good for your gut health and very high in protein. So we're going to get you on the cottage cheese train.
And that was the cottage cheese minute from the Fantasy Road Show.
Yeah, sorry to get us off track. Let's get the train back.
Anthony Richardson.
I'm not even going to talk about the rushing potential because it is what it is. I mean, it's through the roof. But I really think a lot of my belief in Richardson is also the belief in Shane Steichen. I think from a offensive play caller and what he can dial up is right up there with a lot of the top play callers. And I'm a believer in two things. Like, I think they will try to coach him out of those silly hits that he took last year when he's just running into people. And then I think they have just done an incredible job surrounding him with the talent, offensive talent of weapons. When now you've got A.D. Mitchell, who I thought was a screaming buy where they got him in the draft to pair with Pittman. And you've got Alec Pierce and Josh Down now as a 3 and a 4. That's amazing.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And not to mention the elite running game with Jonathan Taylor. Like, if they can really lean on that run and not ask Richardson to get out of the pocket too much, if they can somehow figure out a way to balance those two, I think Anthony Richardson is due for a big year. If he stays healthy, that's obviously the biggest thing. If he plays all 17 games or 16 or 15, I don't think there's a way that he's outside the top 10. And I think that's just what it comes down to.
Okay, so again, looking at your guys' rankings, Stroud 3-4, Richardson 7-8, Lawrence 12. From a gambling standpoint, if you guys are going to be placing wagers this year, every single AFC South game, you guys need to bet the over. Just auto bet the over. I'm telling you, that is like how you should be looking at when you're looking at your rankings. That's what you should be doing, is you create a system and you stick to it and never once veer from it. So like looking at them all being top three, top 12 quarterbacks, AFC South, bet the over every single time. And you're going to, you know, be cheesing at the end, because that will result in plus money. I promise you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. What about, I guess we have Dak Prescott at 9. Shane and I both have him inside our top 10. Then that pretty much kind of rounds out. And then, Mike, I want to hear you talk about Justin Herbert as well. So, Mike, why don't you go ahead and talk about Herbert? You have him right at the 10 mark.
Yeah. I don't have much to say. Like, there's nothing. I just think he's a top three quarterback in the NFL. Pure passing quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
So someone that is that good is not going to have, I mean, he doesn't have the weapons around him, but he'll figure it out. Like, I just don't see three straight seasons coming two off of just bad injury seasons. And then they improve at the line too, right? Like, I just think, like, protect the quarterback and that will immediately result in production if you're as good as Justin Herbert, and his arm is one of the best in the NFL, if not the. So, you know, whether that's Ladd, here's the interesting thing is I don't think you'll see any of the pass catchers like on my draft list, because I haven't figured out who that is yet. Maybe I'll be, I don't know what I'm doing yet with his pass catchers. Maybe Josh Palmer would be the one I would target right now. Like McConkey, sure, but I don't know if he's a 100 catch guy yet because of his size. Like, he's a fucking twig. I think he's 165 pounds. You can't catch 100 balls in the NFL and get hit by these, you know, 225 pound safeties at that size. So I don't want to talk too much about Herbert because I'm not going to sound smart because I haven't figured out exactly the route to go with him. I just know that he's a top three quarterback, and he's coming off two bad seasons. And if you're as good as him, you're coming back with an absolute vengeance. So despite injury, he's going to figure it out and be a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be some value somewhere in that pass catching, right? You got Ladd McConkey right now at wide receiver 48. You have Josh Palmer at wide receiver 58, and then Quentin Johnson at 65. So whether one of those, you know, plant your flag if you believe in Justin Herbert, you know, one of those guys, they're going to return some value on their draft capital from where they're being drafted.
That's exactly what I just said. So it's like, that's why I can't like speak to that right now, because I don't like swinging and missing. That being said, if you're super confident in one of these guys, go for it. You also have Chark in there. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow they get a Cortland Sutton, would be an awesome Charger. I'm not about to start throwing darts at Chargers receivers until I see what happens there. If you know which receiver to throw darts at, please reach out to me. That's all I have to say there. I'm going to be late to the party, and I'm fine with that when I have more confidence in someone. But if someone knows something, my DMs are always fucking open for a little inside scoop. So hit me up. I just don't know how you can right now. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I think for me with Herbert, it is, I love the talent. I do think he is talented. One of the right up there, from spinning the ball to size to sneaky rushing.
And isn't he tapping Taylor Biscotti?
Is he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to move him up now.
That's a winner.
But for me, it's more about the people in front of him. Like, I think the only guy I would maybe through the summer switching with would be Lawrence. But like, I think the big takeaway for me is, you know, a lot of years last year, I was a very big proponent of grabbing one of the top 3 to 5 quarterbacks you know, even if it was in the first five rounds. But for me, my takeaway is I would be thrilled with any one of these 14 quarterbacks as my QB1. Like, it seems it's so much deeper this year, I think, because of those additions of Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and the growth of Jordan Love. I think it just seems so much deeper in the top half this year than it's been in a while.
It's crazy. Like, I could even go down to 25, 24. Rodgers is someone who I think could have a fucking top 10 year.
Yeah.
Baker, what did he have last year? He maybe had a top 10 year.
He was. Yeah. He was.
So
QB9 last year.
Yeah, it's top 10 last year. I mean, and there's nothing to say that he's going to slow down, except for natural, you know, volatility in the NFL, and none of us have him in the top 20. You know,
yeah, that's very true. It's insane. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really all I got to say about them. I mean, I have Jaden Daniels at 22. Shane has him at 13. Like, Jaden Daniels is a guy who, if has success, is going to be a top 12 guy, just like Kyler. I don't know the stats on Kyler, but, like, he's just every year a top 12 guy, and that's Jaden Daniels. And I have him at 22 as an LSU Tiger fan who is a I love the talent. I think he's going to be outstanding. I just think there's going to be a lot of ups and downs this year. And I don't really take risk at quarterback. I just don't. And him getting drafted as QB11 in underdog right now, like, I'm just not willing to bet on him at that mark, because you're betting on the Commander's offense and a guy who's a rookie quarterback that statistically should have a lot of ups and downs. Stroud, obviously. Thank God we took a lot of shots on him last year, Truck, because we looked like geniuses. But you can't expect that from a rookie quarterback. Look at Bryce Young. He was not in a good situation in terms of stability, and it was an absolute mess. And now people think he's dog shit. You know? Commanders have a more stable environment, I think, but he's not walking into a great situation. Like an outstanding situation, you know? So I don't know. It's Daniels, as I mentioned, is a top 12 guy year after year. I don't know. I just can't put him above Purdy right now. Purdy, who's a part of a, you know, top offense in the league. Stafford, one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Tua, what we've seen when that offense is clicking, what they can do. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
I mean, for me, Jaden Daniels has that rushing upside. So if he ends up figuring it out in the NFL, I think he has the potential to be a top 12 quarterback for sure. And I love the weapons with McLaurin and Jahan Dotson. So for me, it's just if he can read defenses and if he can somehow figure it out, I really like the trajectory he's on, even for his rookie year. I'm not expecting a CJ Stroud type season, but I think he can still have a successful, where do I have him right here? You know, somewhere on the top 15 bubble, for Jaden Daniels.
I think if he stays healthy and plays, let's say even just, he plays 17 games, this year, I think he's a lock for top 12 to finish. I think we saw, I mean, if you just, you could compare it to a lot of, this is compared to his team, like the guy RG3 and his rookie year was a top fantasy quarterback, and Daniels is a much better quarterback throwing the ball. And then it's, I would say,
close,
not even close, and as equal, maybe even better running the ball.
Yeah, that's very true.
Better.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what weapons did RG3 have on that team. Like, I couldn't even tell you.
Pierre Garçon.
Yeah, that's true. Good callback on the Garcon.
I don't like. I am as high as anyone in Jaden Daniels, as a football player. So I just don't know how I can put him there. I think Commanders. I don't know. He's someone I don't like to talk on because I'm probably going to be wrong. You know, I'm not comfortable drafting him at 11 at QB 11 and him having to outperform QB 11. Cause if he does that, that means one of the better rookie seasons from a quarterback. And that means the Commanders aren't bottom of the division. And I'm not ready to make that, that conviction yet. So,
yeah, tough division too, you know.
But I don't want to call him, as Shane loves talking about these, I don't want to call him a bust. But, you know, it's tough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Deshaun Watson, I have at 13. I can't imagine y'all having that high. There's a little bit of a spelling error, but it's no big deal. QB 21 and 22, I'm at 13. Again, this is something that I like to take a stance on, and I will say this is one of those that I may be wrong on again, but Deshaun Watson is too good of a football player to go out like this. I think the Browns are one of those teams that, like, their ceiling is a championship. They're the fucking Cleveland Browns, and it'll probably never happen, and they'll probably continue to get shit on and underperform. But, like, they have Myles Garrett. They have an incredible defense. If Deshaun Watson played an entire year last year, I mean, I think we could all say they probably make the playoffs. They probably, you know, are in a place that – I don't know. It's tough. If Deshaun Watson plays a full season last year, he is a top – what, 10 for sure quarterback in fantasy, top 7?
Yeah, I'd say top 10 is fair.
I think it's
I don't know. Well, I mean, he didn't have any games last year where he threw for more than 2 touchdowns. He only had one game where he threw for more than 250 yards.
He played 5 weeks and he had 3 top 10 finishes. And the other week was a QB 14 finish.
Yep.
That's a little better than thought.
It's a lot better than you thought. That's top 10 guaranteed, likely top 7. There's rushing. He was QB 5 week 1 with 154 passing yards.
I was just going to mention
touchdown,
that.
One interception. Because he had 45 on the ground and a touchdown. Like, he doesn't have the same rushing upside as some of these other guys, but he'll have Caleb Williams rushing upside, which is maybe 500 yards a year and 5 touchdowns, something like
that. I will say the one thing that could help him this year, and I'm curious to see, and I hadn't really thought about it until now, was if we don't see Nick Chubb, or it's a shell of Nick Chubb, is there more passing opportunities that presented for Watson and that team than if Chubb was there?
Yeah. Well, that's getting too cute for me.
I think that speaks on their offseason moves, getting Jerry Jeudy. Say what you want about his production in Denver, but you know, he coming into the NFL, he was a very talented route runner. So adding him into that mix, I think, speaks on what they're trying to do with this offense. And I do see him being able to throw a lot more. But like what you're talking about, like week 9, he finishes QB 8, scored 19 fantasy points, 219 yards and 2 touchdowns, 3 carries for 22 yards. So like that rushing upside, like even with a mediocre passing production and 219 yards, you're still a top 10 quarterback. So I think with the addition of Jerry Jeudy, he can hit that mark pretty regularly.
And it's consistency, man. It's like they don't need him to go out there and throw for 303. Like, they just don't. They have one of the best defenses in the league. Don't turn over the ball, which hopefully he doesn't, and then, you know, punch one in. But there will be consistency there. His floor will be high, and then, you know, if he gets that rushing touchdown, he's a top 5 quarterback that week. So, I think that's incredibly deceiving, because had I not already known that, I would have said, like, he wasn't great and got injured. But if you break down the film, what you want and what you need from your quarterback that hasn't played in a year, 2 years, he fantasy wise put up three out of five top 10 performances and four out of five top 15. So there's a ton of value there. If he's healthy, stays on the field, his team's getting better, they have a championship window. Deshaun Watson is a buy for me in all formats. You know, the Browns are the Browns. But Shane, in terms of like Nick Chubb and all that, that is getting too cute for me. As ridiculous as my brain is to follow at times, I think I keep it pretty fucking simple. Is a player good? Are they talented? And then is a team going to have success this year or not? And then what is their ceiling and what is their floor? Period. You know, I don't like to overthink it and get into those types of conversations. For me, it's just more like, I think the Browns are successful this year. I think Deshaun Watson is too good. What's made him, you know, a top three, top five quarterback in the NFL at one period was his ability and just being a winner. So I think that eventually comes back around. Otherwise, he's just one of the worst stories in terms of high highs and then low lows.
So if you like
possibility,
if you liked what he did in five games, I want to hear from you. Why do you dislike so much what Purdy did last year with his stats? When you talk about five games of 29 or more fantasy points,
Purdy's a product of a system.
Yeah, I agree.
Watson's a product of talent, and I've never liked products of systems. I like Tom Brady, so he's, you know, arguably that, but I think he goes to Tampa, wins and proves otherwise. He's just one of the goats. But I think you put Purdy on any other team in the NFL and he's probably dog shit. That's
I would agree. Yeah, but he's still going to be in the same system this year,
and I'm still going to feel the same way about him.
That he will be that much. So you, where do you have him at? You've got him at 16.
And I'm out.
Yeah, he's consensus QB 11 right now. Finished as QB 6 last year.
It's all about value. That's it. This entire game is only about value. You know, look, view it as a stock market. You know.
Yeah.
So Purdy, to me, I like other guys. He'll never be one of my guys, because if you lose Christian McCaffrey, if you lose Trent Williams for three games, if you lose a couple of his pieces, then he's not good enough to do anything on his own. Therefore, he sucks.
Well, and then Shane, let's turn the question back on you, because you only have him at 15. Mike's got him at 16. You know, the way that you're talking about him.
Coming at me, Shane O'Mac, you fucking cottage cheese hating bitch.
The way that you're talking about him, it sounds like you almost had him in the top 10, but you have him at 15. So with that same question, why do you have him at 15? I'm the highest on him at 14. So, like, what's...
But my point was the egregiousness of having him ranked behind three spots of Deshaun Watson was more my egregiousness.
What we just talked about of these going 24 deep, that three spots is not too fucking egregious. You know,
it's egregious to Watson. Yeah.
You want to lather Brock Purdy up in cottage cheese and lick it off his body is what I'm hearing.
All right.
I wonder if we are sleeping on and is Jared Goff. And when you look at the weapons he has, all but two games are inside in a dome. So you don't have to worry about the weather. He gets everything back last year. I mean, Ben Johnson, his coordinator, comes back, which was shocking. Even better weapons, you know, a year now more. So if that's, I would probably, for me, Goff is be one I'll have to, I need to pay a little bit more. I may would tick up even.
Yeah, with Goff, man, it's the hot and cold. You know, what we talked about with Kittle and the tight end when we were talking about Dynasty, like he had six finishes inside the top 10, but he also had six finishes outside the top 20. So, like, you know, there's – I want to see some consistency with Goff. He has great weapons. The team's really good. So, I like Goff in a situation where I lose out on a lot of this value in quarterbacks above him. I would be fine going into the season with Jared Goff as my quarterback with a good backup. But, yeah, I just need to see that consistency.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that, Truck, because that's why I have Deshaun at 13 and Goff at 14 is the consistency with Watson. I'm buying him, especially in redraft. Goff, for sure. Pair him with any of those guys you mentioned in a best ball standpoint. I'm still getting another quarterback, like maybe a Cousins. Him and Cousins, I think, are the perfect two to pair together. Throw a Rodgers, throw a Stafford, throw one of these like elite talents that get drafted outside the top 20 in there, and you got yourself a pretty nice quarterback room in best ball. But in terms of like, guys, it's so hard for me to draft Jared Goff and redraft because I already have Josh Allen.
True.
End of story.
I tell you what, though, and that's
Josh Allen or Caleb. So, you know,
Goff, that's one of, in a lot of redraft leagues, I will take the strategy. If I'm waiting till round 10, like if I take in Goff around there, I love going back to back QBs.
Yeah, double tap for sure.
Double tap them. That's one of my favorite strategies if you're waiting on QB.
Yeah, let's say you get, like, if Shane O'Mac has Amon-Ra in the first round, Drake London falls to him in the second, then double tapping, waiting, double tapping Goff and Cousins, and you're good, right? Yeah. Like, I think that's totally fine. Ask Truck, man. Like, I used to be the drafter that didn't ever touch a quarterback or a tight end. I just knew I could find the guys. I just hammered away at running back. Literally did not draft quarterback or tight end. I was your.
This is very true for many, many years.
Forever. And then Josh Allen comes along and it's like, oh, I can have a surefire QB1 in the third round. Yeah, give me that every time.
Maybe even the fourth round this year.
Yeah, like, so, you know, it's hard for me to. Now, like, someone like maybe Deshaun Watson or Daniel Jones, Bryce Young, these guys in like a keeper league, I'll probably be all over late, throw them on my bench and just know that their value is going to increase so much the next year. But maybe Bo Nix, I don't know. You know, like that's the only other quarterbacks I'm really touching because, again, Josh Allen, going to be all over him again this year. Caleb Williams, given that he's going 12th and I have him as a top five quarterback, he should be on every team of mine that doesn't have Josh Allen. So for me to get anywhere past there, it's tough. To Shane's point, I have Goff at 14. I think that's pretty respectable. I'm never going to put him above any of these other guys. I just don't believe in that the Lions are one of the best teams in the NFL. And for him to be a top quarterback, they need to be, you know, one or two seed, I think, which they very well could be. I probably have a little bit of like growing up seeing the Lions be miserable every year. It's tough for me to think of them as one of the best teams in the NFC, you know?
Yeah.
Cousins, I think, has an outstanding year. I think that he's in a perfect situation for a Kirk Cousins. He's going to be, you know, he obviously had Jettas and saw what he did, what he's done with that talent. But now he's got Bijan, Pitts, London. Two of the most athletic players at their respective positions. And then London, who is got probably the best catch radius. So you're putting a guy that's already made not one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, the best wide receiver in the NFL. He'll get the ball in their hands and let them shine. I think that's perfect spot for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, people forget that, you know, before he got hurt, I mean, he was on a tear fantasy-wise. Like, he led the league in passing touchdowns. I think he was the QB5 or QB6 at that point.
I mean, you're talking, yes, you're talking all the way back in 2016, 2017.
No, who? Cousins last
year. Yeah. Kirk Cousins last year, or his last fully healthy season, he was QB7. Yeah. And then prior to that, at QB11, QB11, QB18, QB13, and then QB6, QB5, QB8. So it was earlier on.
No, I'm just saying he was QB6 come up through his injuries.
Oh, I see. Last year prior to his injury. Yes.
He was QB6. And why he doesn't have Justin Jefferson, like we've talked about, I think we're all high on Drake London. We're all high on Bijan having a better year this year. He's somebody that's still going to have a decent amount of weapons.
Yeah, I mean, what Kirk Cousins does, he throws for over 4,000 yards and over 30 touchdowns. He's going to be healthy.
Shane, not still. My point was it's not still going to have a bunch of weapons. He's going to have way better weapons than he's ever had, is my point. Like, from an athletic standpoint, Pitts blows anyone he's had out of the water.
Hawkinson, yeah.
Yeah, and then from a, like, from a wide receiver standpoint, yeah, Jettis has been incredible. Arguably the better peer talent is Drake London, especially out of college. So, like, what can that look like? That's pretty fucking scary. And then Bijan, I mean, we saw what he did when given the ball. He just wasn't given the ball because Arthur Smith's a fucking dumbass and thinks he's smarter than everyone.
Yeah, I will say one of the knocks on him this year for Kirk Cousins is, you know, Morris. Mostert. Yeah, I know. I want to say Mostert every time I say his name.
Mostert.
When he K-State. Talks about when he talks about this offense, he talks about it runs through Bijan. They're going to be running early and often with Bijan, not asking Kirk Cousins to be a superhero. And I think that's the knock where, you know, he doesn't.
Is that legitimately the knock?
I think it is. He's coming off the Achilles injury, and you have an incredible running game that the coach will not stop talking about every time he's in an interview talking about this offense. It's running
we
through
Bijan.
We need
to find out the knock. Let's talk to someone. Like, we need to figure out what the knock is, because I can't imagine if that is the knock, then that person loses credibility. They're just not smart and don't know football. Giving the best player the ball, like, that's going to hurt his fantasy value in the offense of the team? Fucking no. Like, no, that's wrong. That's going to lead to higher scoring offense. You know what I mean? Like, so the answer to that is no. That is poor if that's the knock on him. So we need to talk to some people that are low on Kirk this year and, like, find out what it is. Is it the injury, which is –
uh-oh.
Let's put that on the takeaways. Whoa, what just happened?
You're cutting out.
You just had a little.
Let's put that on the takeaways of this episode. Find the knock on Kirk Cousins.
Okay, fair enough.
Good.
Fair enough.
Warren.
All right, looking at the rest of this list here, I think we need to talk about Daniel Jones a little bit. I know Coles has been beating the drum for Daniel Jones. You got him at QB 20. I got him down at where am I? Where do I have him?
Probably not on your list.
20,
like in Dynasty.
22. You're an asshole. You have him at 20. I have him at 22. And Shane, where are you at with Daniel Jones?
25.
Okay.
Shane, I love it, Shane O'Mac. So, but judging by these rankings, that and Truck's going to disagree with me because he used to say not. Maybe he's came around. Daniel Jones will be the quarterback for the Giants in 2025.
Ooh. That's tough.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to say that.
Does it matter, though? I don't know if it matters for redraft.
No, for redraft, I don't think it matters, and I think Coles might be cut out there. He might have been speaking a little bit more on Daniel Jones. But, I think he can still have a productive fantasy season as a QB2 with the rushing upside and the addition of Malik Nabers. But I just don't know if the Giants are going to have enough success in order to really invest in him for the future. Yeah, you're back. You were gone.
Gone for a while. Gone. What were we talking about? Sorry.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel.
Yeah. So, like, that's what I was saying. Is he the quarterback in 2025 of the New York Giants? What did you guys say?
I'm saying I'm not ready to say that yet. I think he can still have success as a QB2 on a fantasy roster with his rushing upside and the addition of Malik Nabers. But I don't think the Giants have enough success this season to warrant him being their future quarterback.
Yeah, but if he doesn't limit, if he doesn't limit the production of neighbors, and they, you know, don't have to light the fucking league on fire, but if, you know, if Dables sees the team trending in the positive direction in the non Saquon Barkley era, then it's like, all right, what's our better option right now? It's clearly not Drew Lock. Where are we at in the draft? Can we get a Quinn Ewers? Maybe that makes sense. You know,
like I think they're going to be in that range in the draft. That's where I'm at with the Giants.
I think they're going to finish last in that division.
Yeah, I probably agree with you. So that's going to be the question mark. Will they have success this year? I think so, to a certain extent. Like, I think Neighbors, I have Malik Neighbors. I haven't done my, like, full rankings yet, but I have Neighbors pretty close to Marvin in terms of where they're going to be at. I think the target share is going to be all Neighbors in that offense. They're going to throw him the ball a million times, and because of that and his talent, he's going to – I'll just say it now. I have Malik Neighbors ahead of Marvin Harrison in my rankings because of that. So
yeah. There could be – yeah, and they're going to be easy targets. It's going to be a lot of bubble screens, short passes. What worries me about Daniel Jones is just – coming off that knee injury, do we see as much running the ball that we has, which is his, has been his crucial for his fantasy production in the past. Sure.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see. Well, he's a buy. He's probably my biggest buy in best ball. In redraft, like, yeah, I guess throw a dart late from a keeper standpoint, or if you're like in this, if you end up with Deshaun Watson and Daniel Jones for some crazy reason, someone trolls you and takes Caleb. I don't know. I don't see the scenario of me having Deshaun and Daniel Jones, maybe Goff and Daniel Jones. I just, it's hard for me to talk about that. As I mentioned earlier, I either have Allen or Caleb, but even someone like Caleb who might experience a little bit of volatility in his rookie season, back him up with Jones. Maybe that makes sense in a matchup-dependent start, but I don't think Caleb's going to have many downs. I think it's going to be a C.J. Stroud-esque year, and I think he's going to be, you know, my bold prediction will be Caleb Williams has a better season than C.J. Stroud did last year, which is the best rookie quarterback season of all time. So I don't think you need anyone to back him up, but Jones would be the perfect person. Bryce Young would be another great person of guys that I think take a step forward from where they were at last year. And the industry are super low on them because of the, you know, they burned people last year. So that's the direction that I lead in late in drafts. Jones, Bryce Young, that's who I'm looking for.
Yeah, fair enough.
So then if we're looking at QB20 and on, I think we know Coles' answers, but like who could be this year's in your guys' mind, Baker Mayfield, that is QB20 or later that could be a top 10, top 12?
What's my answer, Shane?
Well, obviously, but I would say Daniel Jones looking at.
I think, can I guess your answer, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, you would know more than Shane. We've done 60 drafts together. Who do you think? I don't know. Think I know my answer. So yes, tell me.
Okay, I was going to take a dart throw on Sam Darnold. I think Sam Darnold has the opportunity.
How do you know me that well? Nobody knows me that well, dude. I was just looking at him. I was like, I'm going to say Darnold, and that's going to be fucking crazy. But
yeah, I saw it coming. Sam Darnold, you know, we've heard the coach talk about him in these mini camps. Is they think he has untapped potential. Sam Darnold played pretty well in spurts with the Panthers, and he's coming in with great weapons and Jordan Addison, eventually TJ Hockenson later on in the season, and Justin Jefferson with the addition of Aaron Jones. Like Sam Darnold has the pieces to succeed in this offense. Now, I don't think it's going to amount to much. I do think the Vikings are going to be last in the division, but I think Sam Darnold has the opportunity with this supporting cast to surprise people and be on the bubble of a, top 12 if everything works out perfect for him.
Yeah, there's an avenue there. I don't think it happens just because I think the Vikings will be the worst team in the division. But that a world exists where that does happen. Especially because I think JJ McCarthy, I do think he's, I don't know why, I think he seems like one of those rookie quarterbacks that just takes a year and sits and learns. I don't know why I feel that way. I can't say like anything that really makes sense. That's just how I feel about him. But to answer your question, like Daniel Jones, Bryce Young, those are probably the leaders in the clubhouse. Probably not Bryce as much, unless he runs the ball, which I don't think he will. But, you know, I could see Will Levis is another guy. Like there's a world where he's a good quarterback and that offense is good. And, the you know, weapons. They take a huge step forward. That Will Levis is a guy that could be that person. You know, I don't think it's Bo Nix, to be honest. We can talk about him in a second. Sam Howell is another guy. Like Levis or Howell, I think, are two of the guys that I would plant my flag if I had to and say top 12, top 10 potential, surrounded by really good offenses. Levis maybe, Howell for sure. I could see Howell beaten out. The reason why you see him and not Geno on my list is because I think he beats out Geno in camp. And I think he's in a good offense. And if he beats out Geno and camp, I'll have them as the second team in that division and like maybe making the playoffs. I don't know. The offense changes with Waldron leaving, but he's someone I could see, you know, having a lot of success with all those weapons around him. Levis, like, I'm not ready to really say one way or another on him. Like, I really hope he's the guy for Tennessee. I don't know if he is. But yeah, that's my answer. What about you, Truck?
Yeah, that was Sam Darnold. I kind of stated my case for him, and I figured from our conversations that we've had in the past, you shared some that same sentiment.
Yeah, it just could happen. I don't think it will. That's why he wouldn't be my answer.
I just don't
think they'll be good enough. Like if they're not, let's put it this way: if the Vikings aren't in a position to make the playoffs, then they're going to go to JJ late in the season. And I don't think they'll be in that position. So like, I won't take that. That would be my answer because of it.
Do you think
the Vikings will be in the playoff contention?
I don't know.
So then that's how I think it plays out. I don't know if like, they're not, if he's just mediocre and they're out of the playoffs, you probably lean to your rookie quarterback, you know?
Well, then to answer your question, Shane, I think this year's Baker Mayfield is Baker Mayfield. Okay. Like he's the QB22. That's what I mean. He ended up being a top 10 quarterback last year on consensus. He's QB22 in our rankings, 24. You have him at 21. He is the most likely out of all these anywhere between this top or the bottom 20 where it's, he has the best chance of being in that range. So that would be my answer. I would like to see, I think Sam Darnold has the potential, but again, I don't have much faith in the Vikings overall during the length of the season.
Yeah. I don't know. It's not Baker for me. Rodgers. Like, is it Rodgers?
Rodgers. Yeah. Absolutely. You have him at what? 23. Shane's at 20. I'm at,
it's probably 20, so is around in the 20s. It could be Rodgers, you know.
Rodgers is 20.
How much juice is left in that arm? Rodgers is probably the answer for me.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm willing to trust Russell Wilson in that Arthur Smith offense to be that high of a performer. I do like the Steelers and the weapons they have, but what about you, Shane? Please say Geno.
No, it is not Geno. You know, I was thinking probably originally Rodgers, but I am thinking more about Will Levis. And I am like, there's a couple things I'm thinking now. Like I remember that home game against the Falcons vividly. I mean, the huge, long, accurate touchdown passes. He now gets a coach that made Jake Browning look good last year in Cincinnati down the stretch.
Yeah.
So he's got a great, and then the weapons. So what they add, Calvin Ridley, they add Tony Pollard, they add Tyler Boyd. So the more I'm thinking about what got added to that offense in a second year with a much better offensive play caller, I think it's going to be Levis for me.
I love that. Who do you got there, Chuck?
This is this is my girlfriend's family's dog. He's a good boy.
That is good. That's good. I like that. No more. We get the stupid cat appearance.
Oh well, the cats are hiding.
What's his name? Because I can guarantee you, he didn't appreciate you calling him the girlfriend's family's dog. Probably like, yeah, this jerk off. That's why. That's why he got off your lap.
Sydney. What's his name again? This guy. It's Milo. I completely forgot the name. It was. I was blanking on it. That's why I called him. She's her family's dog. Milo. He's a good boy. Milo, come here.
Chuck,
come on.
Yeah.
That is such a sneaky bad moment for you.
I know. I know. I don't get to spend as much time with him as I'd like to, but
yeah, because you great dog. Fucking cats like a psycho.
Which my cats are so scared right now. They are tucked away in the corner, freaking out.
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah,
except for Oliver. Oliver's
when we go do a live show in Wichita, do not bring those cats because they will die.
Yeah, and my friend will bury them.
Yeah, okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
The grave digger, the cat grave digger.
All right, enough of that. Let's. I think that's about it. You guys ready to wrap this up?
I think it is too, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching. Again, check out the Substack, thefantasyroadshow.substack.com. You're going to get these rankings, you know, periodically throughout the offseason to help you out through drafts and a lot of other very informational articles. So be on the lookout for that. We got more episodes dropping. Make sure you go follow us and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the video. Follow us on social media. You guys know the deal. And buckle up.
Yeah, and?
What? What is that? Okay, let's not. All right. Everybody buckle up for the last time.